So welcome to Christie Walk, where I live, and I've loved showing you around Christie Walk, because I know that you and your wife are both very interested in biodiversity and yes. sustainability. I'm very interested in what you've got to say, so could you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you do?
Yeah, so thank you for having us. My name is Mazen Kumsiya. I'm a professor at Bethlehem University, but I teach only one course. The rest of my time, I'm a full-time volunteer at an institution that Jesse and I founded called Palestine Institute for Biodiversity and Sustainability. And it's an institute that's interested in sustainability of human and natural communities. And of course, we cannot sustain humans without nature, so we need to protect our environment. In Palestine, I'm from Bethlehem area in Palestine, that's where Jesus was born. In the Bethlehem area, we are subjected to a lot of pressures on the environment and on the people. You know, that includes climate change, habitat destruction, pollution, overexploitation, invasive species, and of course, wars and conflict. Wars and conflict are also a big impact on the environment. So our institute works to redress this, to ameliorate, to mitigate, to challenge these threats. And that includes activities in research, in education, in conservation, in community service, in sustainable living, sort of like what you have here, intentional living, that we are trying to change behavior of fellow human beings and change our own behavior.
You do it voluntarily?
Yeah, we do it. My wife and I are volunteers 7 days a week. We work 16 hours a day. We are both over 65, and yet we work harder than we ever did before. But we enjoy it, and we enjoy this contributing to the local community and to nature in Palestine. It's like an oasis in the middle of this mayhem of destruction, colonization. Of course, you all in Australia are familiar with what colonization does to indigenous people and to nature, and we are facing the same, except in Australia happened a while ago, still happening but a smaller extent. In our case, it's very active, and now there's even genocide associated with it, as happening in Gaza, accelerated genocide. There was genocide, incremental one before, but now it's accelerated. And just in the past 6 months, 70% of the infrastructure and buildings in the Gaza Strip were destroyed. Over 120,000 Palestinians have been killed or injured in a very small strip of land that fits in a suburb of Adelaide.
Can you see an end?
Yes, I am optimistic. I see it. I see the end. I see where it's possible to get a good end. But I see also the possibility that humans keep going down the road of self-destruction, and that's not just wars, as I mentioned, like climate change and habitat destruction, but also wars that could be spiraling, regional wars and then global wars that are nuclear, and we will be all in trouble as a species, in trouble, not just as Palestinians or as Israelis or anything like that. So, we have those two roads. Either the road we've been going down, which is the road of destruction and wars and conflict and colonization and racism, or we can go down the path of sustainability, like what you're doing here in this community. Those are the two paths. There's no third path. So I hope more people will join our path. And if we have more people join our path, I think we're on the right track and we will succeed. If not, cockroaches will inherit this planet, and in a few billion years they'll be typing on their mini computers how dinosaurs went extinct because of a meteor and how humans went extinct because of their own stupidity. These are the choices.
That's a pretty good way of saying it. It's very quite dramatic,
right.
Isn't it?
Yes.
But yeah, it's devastating what's happening.
Yes, we've been, as a biologist, I tell you, from the time I was doing my graduate studies over 40 years ago to now, I've been, like many environmentalists, we've been ringing the bells of danger. Wake up, world. You're like the lemmings heading to a cliff. And we're just a couple of lemmings saying, stop, stop, reverse direction, or we die. But, we got few listeners, and hopefully more will listen.
Is that why you came to Australia?
That's precisely why I travel around the world preaching, if I may use this
message. Yeah, absolutely.
This word is preaching the message of sustainability, the message of... our motto at the museum is respect, our institute. Respect for ourselves. First, we can change our own circumstances. Second, respect for other human beings, regardless of their religion or background. And third level of respect is respect for nature, for the animals and plants that share this beautiful planet with us, that we are destroying. So these levels of respect, if we all just try to do a bit more respect, I think we will succeed. If not, as I said, the future is very bleak for us.
For all humanity.
And all humanity, yeah. Mm.
How do you foster respect?
Well, in our case, we start with children, of course, because children are born with that curiosity and that respect for other people. And we work with children, creating an environment for them to grow, like you create an environment here for these plants to grow. You create an environment for them to grow, and providing the plants with with soil and water and sunlight, etc. In our case, we provide the children with the resources they need, with the material they need to grow as respectful human beings. And we provide role models for them with our own, respect for nature, not using plastics and trying to limit use of fossil fuel as much as possible. Under very, very difficult circumstances of occupation, colonization, and now genocide. So it is not easy, but it is doable, and we try, we keep trying, we keep doing things. We get a lot of support from outside, a lot of volunteers, including me and my wife volunteering, a lot of local volunteers. We don't have financial support, so we end up depending on mostly volunteer effort to achieve what we want to achieve. That's how we keep going. That's how we keep our sanity also, because we're doing work that's important for the environment and important for fellow human beings. Under very difficult circumstances, as I said, you create an oasis of hope, an oasis of work, an oasis of possibilities for a change in direction. And you hope that this spreads to other locations, other foci of community development. And already we do see some interest from other countries and developing countries. I got invited to speak in places like Egypt, Uganda, United Arab Emirates, Jordan, Lebanon, to speak of our experiences and to transmit the knowledge we make. Of course, we make mistakes like everybody else, and we learn from these mistakes. This helps us grow. So that's what we do.
That's amazing. I don't know what else I can say. I can add to that. It's just amazing. Did you want to add anything else?
I invite everybody to come and visit Palestine and see us. See Palestine for yourself. It's a very rich area biodiversity-wise. It was part of the Fertile Crescent where humans first developed agriculture. That's where we humans first domesticated wheat and lentils and barley and chickpeas and olives and things like that. So we urge you to come and visit that beautiful country of Palestine and the whole Western Asia region. Don't believe your media here, whether in Australia or global media like Associated Press. These media are now propagating a lot of untrue things and outright lies about the Palestine, what happened, and who we are as a people. You know, this is not about terrorism. You know, violence is a symptom of colonialism. And of course, colonialism is violence. You cannot remove somebody from their land, take over their land without violence. So colonialism is violence. Resistance of the local people, which international law is very clear, is acceptable in situations of oppression. You have to have resistance, actually. International law says not only do you have a right to resist by any method you choose, but you have an obligation to resist. And so I hope that people will find the truth, learn about the truth. And the truth is the first casualty of conflicts, so to speak. So if we find the truth of what's going on, understand this Australia's role in it. Actually, Zionism started in Australia with George Gawler, and who's the second governor here. And he was tasked with setting the plan for it, which was approved by the British Parliament in 1847. We have that connection. You know, people forget that Gaza Strip, for example. There are graves of 163 Australians in Gaza Strip that were tended to by the local Palestinians for all these years since the Second World War. So 79 years we're talking about. There is a connection, and Australia supplies Israel with weapons and helps Israel to the tune of $900 million. So this is helping genocide, and it is important that the Australian government and the people push to have a foreign policy that's based on international law and based on human rights, not based on narrow interests of lobbyists in Australia or anything like that.
Well, that's wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.